This week on Two Bears, One Cave. And the best is when you break someone's spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, I was cracking toilet seats left and right. Where
cracking the seats?
I just land too hard on them. Leanne's going to hear this and be like, and be livid with me. 100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's always fun when it's the show you tuned in for with me. Not as always, but I'm always happy to see him. One of the only celebrities that is outspoken about his support for Hamas. It is Bert Kreischer, everybody.
I just said to someone, it's so nice to not know what's going on. It's like you see people are like, I don't even know. Like they are in it. Like on their Instagram, they're hemorrhaging followers. They're fighting with people.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm watching dude climbing up light posts, ripping down flags and spray painting. And
yeah, it's pretty wild, right?
And I really am not really sincerely sure what's happening.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, right?
Yeah.
Stay out of it.
Must be like, that's a really bad analogy.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's wild.
It's shit's crazy, Tom.
Shit is so wild.
I'll tell you what I'm focused on.
Shit is crazy right now. You just did like
shit's crazy.
Yeah. The segue of every other comic is like,
everyone's worried about their
bit and they're like, so shit's crazy right now. Shit's real crazy.
I was looking at someone's Instagram feed today. I won't say her name because she was a very funny influencer, mm-hmm. married to a very famous actor. And she is fucking hard as, and as I read her post, I'm like, oh, I don't even know about that. I did a post about how beautifully my beard was dyed. And I was like, wow, I'm out of touch.
Yeah.
It is nice though, right?
Should I do it? I've never done it.
No. So here's the key about dyeing a beard.
Yeah.
What a pivot. Right now, people are like, wow, they're really not going to talk about the Middle East at all. Nope. The key about dyeing your beard is not dyeing at all.
Right.
It's about subtly dyeing it. Taking big patches. Like, you had a strong mustache.
Yeah, this is all, everything is the way it is, right?
So you don't touch it at all.
No.
What is your hair? Is your hair gray?
I don't know. I haven't seen it in forever.
What was the longest you let it grow out?
Now?
Yeah.
About a few days.
Really?
Yeah, 4 or 5 days.
And you shave it yourself?
Yeah.
Clippers or razor?
I use the electric one. You know, that where your hand molds to it?
Yeah.
And I just go in the shower.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because it's easy. It gets really smooth.
I can't believe cut. I still have any hair.
Listen, you always cover it up, though.
Yeah, I know, because it just looks perfect.
It looks perfect with the hat on?
Looks fine with the hat on. But it's thinning, but I can cheat it.
Mm-hmm.
I can cheat it.
Do you ever wear without? You ever go without the hat?
Yeah, no. All my specials. When I do stand up, yeah.
You do stand up, you do it hatless.
Yeah, I do it hatless. I like wearing a hat because I think I look cute in a hat.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about. My daughters have a thread, a baby walrus thread, and they will hose it down with times I've said I've looked cute, mm-hmm. and they take a picture, and I do not look cute.
Where do you dye?
That's the best question I've been asked in my entire fucking life.
Oh, okay.
So here's what I do. Just for Men, brown. You don't want to go black. You don't want to go too dark.
Yeah, don't go black because you don't have black hair. So that would be crazy.
But that's what a lot of the pro wrestlers do. What? Like Randy Macho Man Savage for a period of time.
Seagal.
Oh, his my God.
Hair dye. Oh, my God.
On our
best.
Cruise, we had a costume night, and there was a couple who dressed up as you and Push.
I saw this.
And it was so fucking good.
I saw this.
And it was such a deep cut.
Yeah.
Because no one really got it. And then I didn't get it at first. And then I was like, shut the fuck up.
Because he did the Seagal one.
He did the Seagal, and then she was from her special.
Yeah.
But the key to dyeing your hair is leaving gray hair there.
Yeah, you can't go
you
all the way.
You can't deny it. It's like when I shave my pubes. I trim. So what I do is I've watched a lot of barbershop videos. I comb it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I trim that. I just kind of give it a fade a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I go, so like if this is dick and balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is actually good. This is dick and balls. What I do is I Caesar it out like this.
Mm-hmm.
So everything under here is shorn. Everything's bald right here, bald right here, shaft totally fucking bald. And then, this is the key, I go up an inch.
Uh-huh.
I go up into this area and cut an
the pubis.
Inch, yeah, into the pubis area. Because it looks like you have an inch more of cock.
Yeah.
And then it's a fake.
And if you push that fat pad, you actually see more dick.
Dude.
If you push it in, you're like, whoa, there's some dick in there?
Can I tell you, that's the workout I'd invest in.
Yeah.
6 minute dick. Yeah. And it's just whatever workout, like, I don't even know, like a bicycle.
I think if you actually really reduce your body fat to like, you know, first, let's say you get to 12 and then you go under the, like, hardcore, then that pad would be completely gone.
Dude, that's why young dudes have big dicks.
Just because their body fat level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you almost got to forgive all those guys that molest them. Just joking, guys. Just joking.
Yeah.
But like young dudes, 18 years old is the best dick you're going to have.
Yeah.
Take pictures now, guys.
I think anybody who is willing to take nude photos at any point in your life, you're like, I'll do it right now. I mean, you know, I'm willing to. You're crazy not to, because you're never going to look better.
Dude, all I do is take nude pictures of myself. In the sauna, when I have sauna cock, it's up against the window. Fucking shoulders like this. That's why I look the best. Every time I go like this, it doesn't look that good. You're like, eh.
But you go down.
I go down like this.
Yeah.
And then and then I get almost hard. Almost hard.
Like three quarters.
Like, yeah. Well, sorry, like more. 7/8.
Okay.
7/8.
So it's full, but it's just not up
it's
yet.
It's full. It's just not. It's ready to sail. It's still in the dock.
Gotcha.
Like fucking sails are up.
Yeah.
Speaking of sailing, I kind of want to get into sailing.
I don't like sailors.
You don't like sailors?
Well, no, they're nice people. I'm saying whenever I see a sailboat.
Oh, you don't like sailboats?
I always go, that looks cool, but I don't really want to be on it. I want to be on one with a motor. Because I've been on sailboats. It's just fucking, I feel like it's chaotic.
That's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's like, I love the idea that there's an energy when you, because I was looking at like, what it seems happens is when you get to a certain level in your life, you take flying lessons. That's what it seems like happens. Are you taking flying lessons?
Yeah.
Of course you are. Right?
And can I try like, a chokehold on you?
No.
Just real quick?
No, absolutely not.
And I won't do it all the way.
No, wait. What? Hang on. Are you taking jiu-jitsu now?
So?
Are you taking jiu-jitsu and you're taking flying lessons?
I have a midlife crisis. I'm 44.
Holy shit. Wait, hold on. You're taking jiu-jitsu.
Let me just try one on you. But you tap.
Hold on.
Just let me see if I know how to do it well. Hold on.
What? No, you're trying it out on someone who doesn't know how to defend himself.
I know, but like, okay, you just tell me.
Hey. Okay.
All right. See, it's getting better.
God damn it. You know, Isla choked me out in front of Leanne.
My boys have tried choking me out. They're both in it.
Are you serious? The three of you were taking jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
And you're fighting them?
No.
God, the energy a fucking a child boy must have in jiu-jitsu is insane.
Ellis does arm bars on me all, and I'm like, yo, I've already broken one. Like, he's intense.
Yeah. Wait, both your boys are taking jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You're taking jiu-jitsu. You're taking flying lessons.
Yeah.
What else? When did you realize you're having a midlife crisis?
I guess because people say that whenever you do anything that's like out of what you've done before. That's like, you know, adventurous. They go, you're having a midlife crisis. And then my thought on that is like, yeah, how could you not?
Yeah, it's the same thing happens when people go, you've changed. And you're like, yeah, I don't. It's the whole fucking
point. But I think if you're not having a midlife crisis and you're in your 40s, then something's wrong with you.
You're not working hard enough.
No, it means you have no self-awareness. There you go. Yeah. It means you have no, you're not appreciating. Like, the whole thing about a midlife crisis is you go, oh, I'm going to die, so I need to, you know, do these things because I don't have that much life left.
Yeah, life is fleeting.
Right, so I'm saying if you're not somebody who, if you're like, oh, no, I'm not interested in those things, I'm just going to do everything I've always ever done, then it's almost like you're saying, I just don't care that this is going to end.
So there's a lot of people that think drinking is their thing. Like
that's their...
They just go... Like I told you about the time I was in the cardiologist waiting room and I was nervous and the guy was like, what are you nervous about? And I was like, what if he tells me I have to quit drinking? The guy looks at me and he goes, heads up, you don't. I was like, what? And he goes, you can drink yourself to death. No one's going to give a fuck. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then the cardiologist told me, just so you know, everyone in that room is people that didn't know when to stop. I got told I got told the other day, I want to go back to your midlife crisis, but I got told the other day, there's two types of people. There's addicts and there's partiers. Partiers stop when the party's over.
Yeah.
And then addicts just never stop.
That's true.
And I was like, oh yeah, I stop when the party's over.
So you're a partier.
Yeah. I go, well, the party, I'm not drinking by myself in my room when no one's there and then going like, I'm going to jack off.
No, the difference is with you is that you are the person who goes, come over so that the party can keep going.
Do you realize my one takeaway? I had so many sober realizations.
Yeah.
Like over my time of sobriety.
Yeah.
The number one takeaway.
Yeah.
Is how often everyone wants to go to bed.
This is your takeaway?
Like everyone
wants to sleep.
Everyone wants to sleep.
And you?
Never. I never want to sleep. I never want the party to end.
That's
I want everyone to stay up with me. I want to have one more drink. I want everyone to like, yo, come on. And then like, I'm cool with going to bed, but like at 2 a.m, if you let the most people will go to bed at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like most people don't want to just like, that's my favorite part of the tour bus is getting on the tour bus and being like, the bus leaves and I'm like, one more drink. And then the best is when you break someone's spirit. Yeah. Or like Pete's in bed and then you open his curtain and you're like, you're not going to be a bitch, are you? And he's like, guys, I'm trying to sleep. And you're like, one drink. Everyone get in Pete's bunk. And then everyone gets in his bunk. He's like, fine, fuck it. I'll drink with you.
Yeah.
That's my favorite is breaking their spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
Just fucking, that's the funnest, I would love one semester in a fraternity house. Just one semester in a fraternity house.
You could do that as a show.
I don't even need to do it as a show. I could do it for free.
No, I know, but that would be a hit show.
Oh.
Bert back
frat,
in the...
Frat dad,
yeah.
And I just show up, and I by the way, I don't even need to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I want to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Game day?
Game day?
And a big school, too, you know, like big Southern school. You got to go where it's like,
Ole Miss, a scene. Ole Miss. I'd love to go back to Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, at Florida State, I've been there.
Right.
But I would love to go to one of those.
Oxford on a Saturday, game day.
Dude.
Incredible.
I would love to do Friday, Saturday at different colleges, different fraternities. I get in set Friday.
Do you know what I did? I haven't announced it yet. So the first half of of 24 is announced.
Yeah.
For the fall, I booked some college gigs. The gig is Friday so that I can go to the game Saturday.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to like some big ones.
Can I tell you, this is what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I just said to my family and to everyone, I'm going to take the fall off.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
You should.
Nope.
No, you should.
Nope, I don't need to.
It's good for you.
I have a tour bus.
I know.
I'll just meet you
okay.
at all your gigs.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll go to college game day every fucking Saturday.
I mean, I'm excited.
If you're, okay, go to tomscura.com. Have you announced them yet?
Not the fall ones, no.
Okay, when they launch,
yeah,
I will be taking my tour bus to a fraternity house. I'll be spending the night with you boys.
Okay.
We're going to go out hard Friday night. Real hard, like fucking real hard. And Saturday morning, I will be the first up. I will get breakfast ready for everyone. I will have pre-party.
But here's the thing.
What are you worried about? Why are you already saying no?
No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Keep going.
I went out. I went out for drinks.
But your drinks or my drinks?
Well, my drinks. But yeah, I was drinking vodka on ice, just enjoying just nice cold crisp vodka.
There is nothing better.
It was delicious.
Than the cleanest drink you can have in the world. Whiskey.
But here's
a dirty whore who loses her shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. Gin is a chick you didn't realize was overweight until you wake up the next morning. Tequila gives you an STD.
Yeah, tequila's wild.
But fucking vodka.
Vodka's a gentleman's
vodka
drink.
Vodka leaves before you wake up with a note by your bed.
Yeah.
And you smile and you go, God, I wouldn't mind fucking her one more time. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
I love vodka.
Vodka's great.
I haven't had vodka in so long.
Here's the thing. Can I tell you what kind of surprised me?
What?
So every time I have a few drinks, like, I'm always like, man, tomorrow's going to suck. I'm always thinking about the recovery.
Not with vodka.
I'll tell you this. I was fine. You do? I was fine. Like, 100%. I mean, yes, I had a few waters before bed, you know, so
that's the key.
Yeah.
For real, that is the key.
But I had a little buzz and I was like, man, I wonder if tomorrow I'm going to be like in just a world of regret. I was fine, dude.
When we did our first weight loss challenge, I drank Tito's and soda through the entire fucking weight loss challenge.
You did?
And I lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it's the cleanest drink. My only problem is airplane vodkas.
What is that?
The airplane vodka. They don't have good vodkas on airplanes. That's the only problem I have with airplane vodkas. Yeah. Man, you just made me want to drink. It's interesting. I monitor myself. Not to get too into the weeds, but like I started. I keep a happiness journal, and I noticed things about myself. Yeah, I've kept it for a while.
What is that?
I write down times, things that make me happy, things that make me anxious, things that bring me joy, things that I really like. I write ideas in there. Like it's just a way to quantify. The easiest one to explain is like one morning, I made the girls breakfast, and then they went to school, and I had a cup of coffee and a cigar out in my backyard, and I was writing in my happiness journal. And I went, God, I really feel great. I feel great making them. I feel like of service. I feel great making them breakfast. And I should remember that. This brings me happiness. So then like 2 days later, I'm hungover. I'm doing shows at the store. I'm hungover. The girls are up and Isla's like, hey, are you making breakfast? I was like, I think I'm going to just sleep. And I hear Leanne, let him sleep. He was out late last night. But in my head, I know that I'd written it down. That makes me happy. So I went, stop. Get out of bed. Go make them breakfast. And see if that works again. And I made them breakfast. My hangover went away. I'm laughing. I'm having coffee. We're all joking. They go, I'll get in the car and go. And I go, God damn it, it works. So it's like quantifying happiness. So what I do is I quantify when I stop drinking, the first 5 days is the most interesting because you have an impulse. You know, when you started losing weight and you would go to you'd find out how many times you actually went to the fridge.
Sure.
Or how many times you went to a bag of chips and you were like, oh, wait, I can't have chips. I'm trying to eat clean.
Yeah.
So it's easy to do with weight loss, but when you drink a lot, there's a lot of times where your brain will say to yourself, hey, we should have a drink tonight. Like, it's almost like, and like, you know, I should have a drink. And then I would quantify that. And then I'd sit with that feeling and then go, what is that? Like, I was trying to figure out what it is. And then there were false ones, like almost like a false limb where you feel an itch.
Yeah.
And it's just like going like, and then those go away real quick.
Like
and
false what? False
feelings of false feelings of wanting to have a drink.
Oh, I got you.
Like where your brain goes, we should get a open a bottle of wine tonight. And then you're like, oh, I don't really need that. You know what I'll do? I'm going to get on the treadmill. I'm going to walk. I'm going to watch Full Swing on fucking Netflix. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm going to sauna before I go to bed. I'm going to get up and I'm going to push it tomorrow. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the right thing. You know what? Maybe we'll take a hit of weed and smoke a cigar. That'll be the same feeling. And then there's what you just did to me is when they're real. They're real. That's the Lord talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you brought up vodka and my brain said, you know, we haven't danced with her in a while. Mm-hmm. Like just her. No soda. No cranberry. Yeah, just her. Just me and her. Up. Just me and her and ice. Maybe a little bit of a lime just to like a bow in her hair, a flower in her hair.
It was good. It was nice, man. It was nice. Yeah.
I want you to remember this. I'm being dead serious. I want you to remember that you did this to me tonight.
Okay.
Good. No, because this one's a real one.
Yeah.
And I haven't had her in a while.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with her. She really introduced my. I told you this a long time ago. I was sitting on a plane. Drinking a Heineken, and this gorgeous man next to me, his name was Tan. Gorgeous man next to me said, you know what? I could go for a drink. I had a long one last night. And I was like, yeah. He goes, vodka soda. She brings it to him, and I said, vodka soda. I was like, what the fuck? What are you, Chelsea Handler? And he was like, it's in my contract. I was like, what? And he goes, as a male model, it's the best drink you can drink to lose weight. And I went, oh, I'm going to murder this Heineken, and I'll have a vodka soda too. And so that was when I first met her, but she does make you feel clean.
Yeah. Makes you feel good. It was a good buzz.
We're going to get fucked up tonight.
We are going to be drinking.
Are you going to get Bert drunk?
No.
Why don't you get Bert drunk?
I have to do things.
No, but no, like I'm curious. I'm being serious, sincere because I've done it where you just like, I've done it where you go, there's two things. I want the buzz, right? I want the buzz. I want to feel the buzz. I want the sparkle. And then there's times where you go, no, everyone's drinking. I understand that would make things easier just to be a part of the team and we'll all drink tonight. But I really don't want to drink. I don't have an interest in drinking. I wish I could have some water. I wish I wasn't over at this guy's house. So I had to listen to him talk about assisted suicide. I wish, by the way, maybe the best sober conversation I've ever been in my entire life.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
At a guy's house?
At a guy's house. He was like, listen, suicide's not a bad fucking option. And I was like, when you get older. And then his wife's going, stop selling people on suicide.
Well, I, having seen like somebody wither away, I would have wanted to check out.
When do you think on the list of people I call when my dad dies, where do you think you'll be on that list?
I don't know. That's really personal to you.
I know, but you've been through it.
But I mean, whether or not, like, your order has, I mean, I don't like to guess where I'll be in your order. I mean, you're probably going to talk to your siblings, your mom, your wife, maybe your kids.
You never called me when your dad died.
Yeah, because, like, you're not really, you know, you get, like, it affects everyone differently.
Did you drink?
Did I drink? Like, that when it happened?
You found out, you pour a drink and be like, oh, no. Fuck. What'd you do?
So we were at the...
You knew he was dying, too.
Oh, yeah. We knew he was dying. And then they were like, it'll happen in the next, like the doctors and nurses, like, it'll happen in like the next day. So I was there in the morning, and let's say he died like around noon. From there, we went to a funeral home that was going to do, we had some things already picked out, but we had to do a few other things. We made a few other.
So there's
like,
a lot of business.
Yeah. The more of it, like, you know, there's the thing about dying is that the people who are alive, but with dying on the horizon, you know, that's why, like, it's so important to have your stuff in order. Like your estate planning kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because people who die without that, like, I think the story goes that Prince had no will, you know, right? I'm just using him as an example. Then you just have tons of people being like, we're all apart. Like, you know, they're trying to like chop up this estate.
Oh, I'm going to have a reading of my will, just like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Where everyone's there and they're like, who's that guy? And they're like, well, then everyone's sitting there and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And I want people fighting for the money. I'm going to have a scavenger hunt. I'm going to have like.
Yeah. The more of that,
and
though,
then I'm gonna have the all the electricity in the house drop out,
yeah.
And then one person's gonna die also, and then they're gonna be like, "Who did it?" and then they find out. Like, that would be fun. Why does anyone make their death fun?
They're not thinking like you. They're just like, man, I don't know why I'm such a bummer about this whole death. But
why don't funeral homes step it up? You've got wedding planners.
Yeah, no, it's real funeral planners. It's bummer city at funeral homes. It's really a bum show. But like, you have to have that stuff. And then if you are, you know, I'm saying thinking ahead, you have your plot, how you want to be, if you want to be cremated, if you want to.
Do you know where you want to be buried?
Not at all. I haven't thought about it. But I do have
so much time now that I don't drink like I used to.
How much time do you think you have?
Like, better question is, how much time do you think I had if I didn't slow down?
If you didn't slow down?
Be real.
I think you would have had real health issues start to evolve and like show themselves in this decade, you know, like real, like
from 50 to 60.
Yeah. And we're talking like, you're not slowing down.
Not
at
slowing
all.
Down.
Yeah. I think your health would have taken like a turn during this decade.
That's my one takeaway. And I mean this to all our fans, cause I think all our fans have watched us change and like grow and digress, get hurt, get surgeries, go through shit. But the one thing I think sometimes is like, I wish I could gift just the space to everyone. Like, once you get kind of healthier, you get a little distance from your bad behaviors.
Yeah.
And you start like, it almost gives you time to exhale. And I would love to gift everyone what it's like to like not wake up super fat. Because I know what it's like right now. And I'm still obese. I understand that anyone watching this goes, dude, you're 235. That's fucking fat as fuck.
That's down from 270?
275, really. When we look at, I love these things so much. By the way, but it's when you, the amount that it takes off of you, like just walking or getting up, showering, you know, showering is the big thing. I can wash my asshole again. I couldn't wash my asshole.
Really?
I could, like, I'd get back there and it would hurt to get back
like
there.
Like your shoulders and your back would hurt.
I'd be like, my feet don't hurt.
Stairs, right? Don't stairs make a difference? 40 pounds is a lot of difference on going up a flight
of
stairs.
I don't work for UPS.
But I'm saying if you're in a stairwell, like when you've
never ever been in a fucking stairwell.
You never go up a flight of stairs at all?
No.
I like how stairs, like I said, you know, when you go to the space station.
What am I, one of your pores?
Yeah.
No, I don't walk up stairs.
Okay.
I fucking hang out on the first floor. The girls are upstairs. I don't go up to their rooms.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really fuck with stairs.
You're really saying this like stairs are out of the realm of possibilities to run into.
You know, it's very interesting you say that. Today I did the stair climber. Today I did the stair climber and I actually thought this is fucking useless.
Really?
Like, I was like, who the fuck is doing stairs?
Really?
No, I don't fuck with stairs. And
but getting out of a chair is different.
Getting out of a chair, I actually feel it. I actually feel, because I do a lot of squats and like goblet squats.
Were you at the point at your heaviest where you would have a split second thought getting into a chair? Like, is this a supportive chair?
No, but I will tell you. During Fully Loaded.
Yeah?
There was a guy that came backstage. And he's a big guy. He was like probably three bills.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat in a chair and he broke it. As he sat in it, it shattered. And it smithereen. I mean, like comic book. All four legs went squirt.
Yeah.
And the fucking back fell off. And everyone laughed except for me and Big J. We looked at each other and looked at him. We're like, it's okay, buddy.
Yeah.
We're there. Like, it's
that could have been us.
That could be us. Well, thank God we didn't sit in that chair, because that could be us. No, getting right now. Well, you know, I was cracking toilet seats left and right.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was cracking toilet seats because I don't, when you're that fat, by the way, there's the minutia of fat, like stretching a shirt. These are things that fat guys do. Stretching a shirt before you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of putting on pants where you go, these are barely going to get around my ass. And then going through your wardrobe and having absolutely nothing to wear. Putting on a suit and realizing I feel like I'm in a fucking prison. But nothing connects more than cracking toilet seats.
Cracking the seats?
I cracked so many seats. And then what would happen is I just land too hard on them. Like okay. I'd go to take a shit and yeah. I'd go wham, and then it would crack. And then you couldn't find the crack. But then when you got up, it would pinch your leg.
Uh-huh.
Dude.
The other one is fat guy move is putting your foot on your leg to tie your shoe. That's a total fat guy move.
You need to
reach it here.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell fat guys.
Yeah.
You can tell fat guys by their stomachs, but
yeah.
You can also tell really fat guys, all their shoelaces are tied on the inside.
On the inside. Yeah.
Dude, I stopped tying shoes altogether. Everything was a slip-on. Everything was a slip-on. It's why fat guys have such bad feet problems. Shoes were meant to be tied. They were meant to be tied, not too tight, but snug on your foot.
Yeah.
And when you slide into all your shoes and you're overweight, putting so much stress on your feet, and you're getting plantar fasciitis, dude, sweatpants are such an enabler.
They're enablers.
Yeah, because you put on sweatpants, you're like, I'm not that fat. I can sit crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
And then you put jeans.
It's all comfort. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then you put on jeans and you're like I would look at you in your fancy clothes and hate you.
And like fancy, you mean pants?
No. Like you'd put on fancy clothes, like slacks. Uh-huh. You come to the Dude Two Bears.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we dressing up? Is there a fucking red carpet? You have a collared shirt on with like a fucking beige jacket. And I'd be like, oh, cool.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I did when I lost like a significant amount of weight,
yeah,
is I went into a bunch of jackets that must have stood there like they were never getting called to war.
Yeah.
They were just sitting on the side like it's Dunkirk going, we're not going. Dude, I'll wear one tonight. It's crazy. It feels so good. Dude, I was, when we were promoting The Machine that's streaming right now on Netflix, it was number one for like 3 weeks, but you can check it out and then boost it back up to number one. It would totally help me out. I don't even want you to watch it. Just hit play on your fucking Netflix.
Yeah.
Do that with our specials too. Don't even fucking watch them tonight. Everyone watching this, just go to Netflix and hit Sledgehammer, hit Razzle Dazzle and hit The Machine and just let them play. Just let them fucking play. You know what that does? It increases our fucking money. Yeah. So
great pitch.
What was I talking about? When I was promoting the movie?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I bought all new wardrobe. I had a stylist come in and dress me for all new wardrobe. And I went to one show and I couldn't button the shirt.
Really?
Of a shirt I had just recently bought. I would balloon up 5 pounds, 6-7 pounds in an evening. And if I was on a plane, I was fucking swollen.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how red I was.
Yeah, you did look super red before.
Everyone was like, dude, you're really red. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm working hard. This is what hard work looks like. What are you fucking color shaming me? That's what I love about black alcoholics is you can't tell.
Yeah.
They just stay black.
It's one of the great things about being a black alcoholic.
Black alcoholics are the fucking best. When are you going to do drink champs? No, I didn't mean it like that. But like, when are you going to do drink champs?
I mean, I'd love to anytime.
Oh, my God. But I want you to get fucked up.
Okay.
I want you to get fucked up. And I want to sit in the back with all Nori and DJ EFN's group and talk shit the way they do and do that. Getting out of a chair was a big deal when I lost weight. Getting into the gym and being excited.
That's a good feeling.
And having gains. Being like, this is good.
I didn't realize that when... it was my dad died in December... of 21.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's when he died. December 21. So
you were still in LA?
No, I'd moved here already.
Okay.
So I moved here in May of 21. So he died in December 21. And I'm not even tying the two together, even though they could be, but like, I didn't realize that I'm back on tour and I have like a trainer with me, but I'm just like not dialed in on eating. You know, and like going at it, I'm gaining weight. And I had a suit that I had bought a few months prior. And then I wore it on one of the arena shows. Dude, like the day I put it on, it's like, I was like, fuck. And that was like, you know, March, April of 22.
Yeah.
So just in those few months. And then I look at like clips from them and I was totally ballooning up.
We should do a group thing. We don't need a sponsor, although a sponsor would be badass, but we should do a group thing in January.
A group thing? What do
like
you mean?
Like dry January. We didn't do Sober October. We did do Sober October, but I already wasn't drinking. So like it wasn't any fun.
Can I tell you, it was so lax this year between us.
It was, yeah.
No one ever even talked about it, that I broke my sobriety on accident. And I was just like, oh, who cares? Like,
yeah.
I met up with somebody and they go, do you want to have a drink? And I still wasn't thinking, because we weren't talking about it, that I go, sure, I have a drink. I think maybe half of it. And it was the next day where I was like, oh, it's October. And I just forgot.
Yeah. It's fun when you do a group challenge. I would love to do a group challenge. Here's what I want. I don't know if there's a way to do this. Maybe we can see if I'm a big still Whoop guy. I know you wear yours every now and then.
Yeah.
But I would love Whoop to make my numbers public.
I'm sure they can.
I want them to make the numbers public. And I want our fans to have their numbers public. I want to be able to, like, everyone check in.
I think you can if you accept, like, people who...
But we should do, like, a real challenge at the beginning of this year with us and our fans.
For trying January?
Yeah, because I'm going to party my dick off. Starting tonight, I'm going to party pretty hard.
Through December?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, you figure it's holiday season. Thanksgiving's going to be a fucking wash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, me and you are getting pretty fucked up. We are.
How fucked up?
Pretty fucked up. I want you to start laughing when those uncontrollable laughs where you're like, I did not expect this to happen.
Oh,
and then Christmas is going to be a fucking blowout. New Year's Eve, are you in Honolulu?
Yeah.
You're in Honolulu New Year's Eve. I don't think I'm doing a show, but I'll have a party at my house. I want to get fucking lit. But I want to go January 1. I want to go January 1, do dry January, and probably bleed it into our Super Bowl show.
Okay.
The first time we drink again to be our Super Bowl show, but get our fans activated too, because it's funny. I'm sure there's people watching this going, oh, fuck off, right? But because I did that when you lost weight. I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, yeah, great. You got your shit together. It's, you know what I mean? But like, do something to activate like our group, because everyone can use a little extra oomph, a little something motivation. Group motivation really works. We don't need Joe and Ari. We can just do me and you, like a dry January. Just for the Bears, just for the fucking people that are with like our guys, but activate the community and really like, because I love when like people post shit and then you see them doing better. There's a bunch of guys that when I started losing weight, I love when I started losing weight. Everyone's like, if that fat fuck can do it, and then they started losing weight and then they lost more weight, and then you go like, wow, that's inspiring, you know. We should do dry January. See if we can get a sponsor so everyone can get on the same shit. Like Whoop, I go to Whoop immediately because that's my favorite one. But start 2024 solid. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I get into a bunch of these a bunch of young men who are like party guys, but they're all workout party guys, and I fucking love them.
Are they gorgeous?
They're good looking. Yeah.
Okay.
They're shirtless. Yeah. Shirtless. Okay. They're fun. There's one guy lives in Miami. One guy lives in Tampa.
You just like.
I just follow them. They're all fucking.
College dudes?
I don't even know. They don't look educated.
Okay.
But they're probably college age, and they're just fucking party guys. There's something about that when you haven't realized.
That's your spirit, dude. That's what it is.
I mean, yeah. We're going to have so much fun in the fall.
Yeah.
Going from tour to tour.
Oh, you're jumping on this for sure.
I'm jumping on it. Yeah. I'm jumping on it. I'm building for something. What I'll do. Yeah. Oh, dude. I'm at least doing one with you.
Okay.
And I'm going to spend the night at Fraternity House. Are you doing Tallahassee?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing Tallahassee?
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
On Friday.
Bro, can I roll out the red carpet for you in Tallahassee?
Yeah, of course.
Holy shit. Can you tell I have a in? Do I look like a? Oh, I thought it was the other side. Anyway, Tallahassee. I went to a Florida State game.
Of course, I know.
And it went. It was fucking. It's funny because you know when we ran into Coach Norville at the
Daytona,
he was like loosey goosey. Hey, yeah. Tom, Bert,
yeah.
Rah, rah, rah. He lifted his shirt up and he was like, "Hey, look at my tits." Uh-huh. And then when I saw him on game day,
yeah,
he's dialed in.
Yeah, of course, man.
He went, Bert, good to see you. Dabbed me up and he was on.
Yeah.
He was on.
Focus.
Do you forget how fucking studly these fucking football players are? Exactly. When you see them on the field, like just the fucking legs.
When I was at Penn State for my show last year, they were like, every time it's a big D1, they go, you know, I try to, I'm like, hey, can I check out the football facilities?
Yeah.
So they set it up and they just had practice. Like practice just ended. So they were in the locker room and they brought us in there. And I'm fucking 43. I'm walking through this thing and I was like, oh my God. Like these kids dwarfed all of us. We all were like, oh God, this is fucking great. And then the kid's 19 and he's like this, you know, like in the locker room, like, oh, what's up? Oh, I love your stuff. And you're like, you're meaning like,
and nice you forget you're as old as his dad.
Yeah. You're like, nice to meet you, son. Like, yeah. It's really nuts how the D1 athlete is built different. Like you don't run into them every day. Uh-uh. They're a whole different like cut. Really. They really are.
I hung out with DK Metcalf.
I rode an elevator with him.
Really?
And I was like,
you can't pull up a picture.
Such a freak show of a human being. I was like this in the elevator. I was like, holy shit.
DK Metcalf came up. It was like, you know, whatever he said, you're like the best living comic of our generation. I love the way you speak to multicultural groups. And
yeah,
it's, you just translate very well.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds just like a DK quote.
He was like, dude, fucking shoulders are on point. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. You don't have to say that. And he was like, oh, it's undeniable. And then he said to me, I said, he just got done practice. And I said, what are you doing after this? You're going to go take a nap? And he looked at me like, huh? Like he you can see it in his eyes. He's like, I'm a different specimen than you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, no, I'm going to work on ASL. I said, what? And he goes, on my free time, I work on American Sign Language. And I went, for fun? And he goes, yeah. He was like, and then I'm going to get another workout in. I got another class I'm taking. I go, the fuck's wrong with you? I was like, you should be like, soaking wet with pussy juice.
I think he gets time for that too. I think he works it in.
He is fucking gorgeous. Geno Smith was there. Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
What's going gorgeous. On, man?
Gorgeous. I mean, just different type of men. Do you ever hear Marshawn Lynch talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Marshawn talk about Aaron?
Yeah.
No?
Oh, so badass. So he goes to Cal right when his freshman year. They bring him out for like one first team defense versus first team offense. And they bring Marshawn out. He's fresh out of high school. They bring him out and they go, all right, we're going to run power right or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Marshawn Lynch is like, shit, I'm in. Like there's a list of running backs that could be back here, but they brought me in.
Yeah.
I'm running. And he got so excited because I guess I don't know anything about football, but power right is like the fucking move he wants, right? Okay. And Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, and Marshawn Lynch runs the wrong direction. And Aaron Rodgers is such a fucking gangster. You know him. He's my best friend. And then he does a back move and hands it off backwards to Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch runs for a touchdown. Place goes nuts. Coaches come up and get in Marshawn Lynch's face. That's not how we do it at Cal. You fucking went the wrong direction. And Aaron Rodgers, what a gangster, to this freshman, he does not know, says, that was my fault. And they were like, what? And he was like, it was my fault. I called the wrong play. I went the wrong direction. It wasn't his fault. Marshawn Lynch is a freshman, right?
Yeah.
And in front of the whole team, they start bitching out Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers takes it, and he's like, comes over to Marshawn. He's like, welcome to the team. And from that day forward, Marshawn Lynch has never said a bad word about Aaron Rodgers.
Makes sense. I just saw him talk about what a shitty relationship he had with Russell Wilson. So
yeah, what the fuck? What was that?
The story he told, it was Marshawn. I think he was doing
Club Shay Shay?
Yeah.
Club Shay Shay is a badass podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So he's...
Sharon Sharpe's arms are fucking jacked.
Dude, he is 55, and I saw him doing...
He's 55?
Yeah, he's doing incline...
Dude, I have a friend who's 55 who looks like fucking garbage. 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 He is an old man at 55. You're like, do you need a sweater? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I have an idea. This guy, Shannon Sharp, 55 years old. He's doing incline dumbbells, so with 130s, and just doing reps with it. And you're like, whoa, like this is pretty serious. But the story he told him about, you know, they had a real thing, obviously, in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like a fucking great team. And he's talking about that relationship. And he said, it's funny because you told the Aaron Rodgers story. In this interview, Marshawn Lynch says that after one particular game where Russ had just like not a great game. Marshawn reached out and was like, you know, I know that this was like not, first of all, he asked for Russ's number from like player personnel guy. And they're like, he'll call you. And then Russ called him from an unknown, from a, like a private number. And he said that he told him like, I know today wasn't like what you wanted, but you know, like I got your back. And he said, Russ was like, what? He's like, well, you know what I'm saying? Like today wasn't what you wanted as far as like a passing game, but like I got your back. And like, you know, if I have a game or it doesn't work out for me, you got my back. And he said, Russ was like, huh? And that it kind of just ended like that. So he goes, you know, we had a zero relationship off the field. None.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, he was like reaching out to be like, don't sweat, right? Like, I got your back even if you have a bad day. And he was like, yeah, I don't know.
That's all I'm looking for in life.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. Can I tell you what's wrong with, not with, what's wrong with Russell Wilson, but what's great about Marshawn Lynch? By the way, I'm spending all day tomorrow with Marshawn Lynch.
No.
I'm spending all day tomorrow with Marshawn Lynch.
He's the greatest.
I'm hoping that I can blend tonight's drink into tomorrow's Hennessy afternoon. Because I will drink Hennessy and blow clouds with him all fucking day.
Yeah, that'd be a fun day, dude.
I will get...
You better leave with some cool Marshawn stories.
Fucked. Oh, I'm gonna get his phone number. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. I cannot fucking wait to hang out with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Marshawn, I think the problem is, here's the problem with greatness, right? Is that like Russell Wilson's, no slight on him. You can't slight greatness. Greatness just operates differently than the rest of us.
Sure.
It just does. It's exhausting.
Have you ever seen, by the way, DK's supposed daily routine?
No.
You haven't seen this? He wakes up. I think he has coffee, some water, works out, goes home, gets dressed, goes to practice, has some more water. And they're like, when are you eating? He's like, oh, like at 5 p.m. And then he has some candy too. He likes candy, which is like a Marshawn thing. He's like, yeah, I like to eat candy, like Skittles and shit.
Marshawn used to take a shot of Hennessy, two shots of Hennessy before a game. I couldn't do that. And I like drinking. I couldn't do that.
It's fucking crazy to me. But yeah,
the problem is with greatness. And only because like, obviously everyone aspires to greatness, right? Like you ever watch Full Swing on Netflix?
The golf one?
Yeah.
No.
You watch certain guys like Jordan Spieth or like Tiger Woods or McIlroy or like these great guys. They're uber competitive also. Like it's something broken in your psyche. Jordan, you can't take anything other than number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just leaves such a fucking field of frustration for you unless you are number one. And it works out for the most of them. They're always number one, but they don't always turn number one.
Yeah.
I think this is a problem with men, young men right now. I mean this out of such respect. I was saying this to Leanne the other day, walking out of a Target. We went to a Target and I was like, I don't mean this as an insult. We were talking about why are we so happy? Like what is the thing that makes us happy? Like how do you gift this to other people? And I said this to her and it came out as an insult, but I mean it as a compliment. Is that right now, if you're listening, just lower your expectations. Do not think. That's what fucks up so many young dudes is they want the baddest bitch in the bar. Mm-hmm. Not realizing all the fucking shit that comes with the baddest bitch in the bar. All the shit. The baddest bitch in the bar wants the baddest motherfucker on the street. She doesn't even want the baddest dude in the bar. She wants the baddest motherfucker in the street. You're never going to be him. If you lower your expectations and just go, I just want someone who isn't going to cheat on me, doesn't burn steaks, and can fuck, then you there's a ton of those around.
Right.
There's a ton of those around. And I think...
And that's what you shoot for.
That's what you shoot for. Shoot for like just a chick that gives really good hand jobs. Don't look for the baddest bitch in the bar. The baddest bitch in the bar sucks. What's the hottest chick you ever dated? You can't say your wife because I know we're all going to say that. What's the hottest chick you ever dated? And then let's fuck her up. Let's destroy her. Because that's what, because every guy in college listening right now is like, whoa. You think about it right now. The chick you'd love to fuck, right? You'd love to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The one you're like, fuck, that would be nice.
No, it was a disaster.
Always is.
Yeah. I went out with a model in LA. I had a huge crush on her.
Yeah, already. Okay, yeah. Ready? I'm gonna break it down. Already, if you have a crush on her, you're fucked.
Yeah. It was like fucked.
Because what you're doing is you're New Year's Eving her. You're saying this is gonna be the
Yeah,
this
it's exactly it. You're totally right about this, actually. And here's the thing, like you get to know someone like that, the baddest bitch in the bar, and you lose your attraction to her. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I know that you're gonna say she's pretty, but I've hung out with her.
Yeah.
So you start to find her less attractive. People can't even understand. How do you not think she's in? You're like, because I fucking spent time with her.
Yeah.
And she's a fucking, she's a mess.
And she says, and she does fucked up things where you're like,
yeah.
We're like, that, real people don't do that.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, says fucked up things and you're like, what the fuck? And then you start to go like, oh, like you start to lose, the attraction goes away.
I said it to Leanne. I said, you know what I love about your body? And,
I know this is going to be fucked up sounding. I already know. How fucking uncomfortable is this, what you said? Because I'm gauging. I have an idea.
Well,
you know what I love about your body? How it's so not perfect. Like, no,
yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's like the whatever the flaws are, I find sexy. Like,
right.
I find, but here's the deal. And I'm talking right now to a 25-year-old dude, a 30-year-old dude who's like starting to do good in life, got aspirations, and thinking what I need to fill out my fucking resume of life, what it's going to look like when I'm 50. So for me to be happy is I need the baddest bitch is in that resume. I'm top sales. I'm eating good. I'm eating clean. I got a good group of friends. I got a nice car. I got a condo. I'm accruing money in that condo. Got a great stereo system. I got shit dialed in. What I need is a bad motherfucking bitch.
Yeah.
I want a chick that other dudes are like, oh, fuck, yeah, right? Yeah. Here's the flaw in that.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to do is lower your expectations and say, this is what I can get. What's the best of what I can get? Like, what's the thing, the hidden thing? I said to Leanne, I love your body. And Leanne is not a fan of her own body. And like, she just is like, I could do this and do that. And I said, and this is so fucked up, but when I get Leanne naked, it's like a secret. Like, she doesn't show that to everyone.
Right.
Because there's vulnerability there.
Sure.
So when I do get her naked and she cuts loose, and this bitch has been cutting loose lately, it's like she's trusting me with a secret.
Yeah.
And when I heard, I thought I was into brown nipples, right? Like, I thought brown nipples were the fucking key to life. Leanne's got pink nipples, and they're fucking, pink nipples are a secret. Like, when you see pink nipples, you're like, oh, this is sex. Brown nipples, you pull those out on a beach in Brazil, everyone sees them, you're like, yeah, okay, brown nipples. Uh-huh. They're not bad, but
right,
whatever. It's like brown nipples you can whip them out at a bar. Her nipples are nipples that people don't just show all the time because they're kind of hot and sexy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it's like I don't know. But my point is, and I kept saying this to her, I got what I wanted because I wasn't
expecting much.
I Leanne's gonna hear this and be livid with me.
I know.
But
I know what your intentions are.
I'm sure she did the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure she said, but that's the key to life. The key to life is being happy with what you have.
That's the key.
Is not
grateful for what you have.
Grateful for what you
have. At every level. Yes.
And realizing what will make you grateful.
Yeah.
You don't need, trust me when I say, first of all, I will say, I have to say this. I don't know if I would be where I am without Leanne. I can't look at my life and go, imagine if I just plugged that chick in. I don't think I'd have it. I don't think there's a lot of chicks that would be like, no, 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 no. This is my guy. The guy that drinks himself blind on a plane, shows up, phones it in with our kids, passes out, wakes up, doesn't know where he is, and is like, I think I shit my pants. Yeah. Like she, I don't think there's a lot of chicks that would settle for that.
Yeah.
But Leanne did the same thing I did and was like, this guy's good. He's self-correcting. He loves the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. And that's the key is like, I wish I could articulate that more to young men. We go, you know, that chick that like you dated during the summer who had a great sense of humor and you could go to Target with and you could laugh nonstop with. That's the one you want.
That's the one you want.
You want to be in a Target with a chick and just be laughing at stupid shit. Yeah. Not the chick that goes, are we shopping at Target?
Yeah, no.
And that's, you don't want that chick.
No, the great, like I was lucky in that I dated like great girls. Like even from high school through college. Like if it was longer than a few weeks, it was because you could go to Target or just sit around and do nothing. Cause that's really when you vibe with somebody that you that have that. If the person is like, what are we doing here? And asking you to kind of like be someone you're not, then that's obviously not for you. That's not a good relationship. You
know? There's so many times that people look at what they have and think, and they judge it by what other people think they have.
Yeah.
Like, so like if let's pretend it's a car, right? Say you just love a fucking Civica. Civic. Say you love your Civic. But then as you pull up in your Civic, people say things about your Civic and you're like, it's a good car. And they're like, okay. And then they get in their Jaguar. Well, Jaguars break down at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's every other chick is a Jaguar. But if you love your Civic, then go, fuck you. I love my Civic. This is a badass Civic.
And that's what you told Leanne. You're like, you know what? You're my Civic.
You're my Civic.
Yeah.
You're my Honda Civic.
Put that on a card.
Yeah. You're my Honda Civic.
Yeah.
And I am your station wagon.
There you go.
Dude, people forget how great station wagons were.
Station wagons were the shit. It's kind of sad.
What car is Christina? Can I tell you what car she is?
Oh boy.
No, I know what car she is.
I think she's a Jetta. No, that was one of hers. She loved.
Oh, that was one of her cars.
Yeah.
I got to take back the Leanne Civic because that sounds so bad, but Chris, can I tell you what Christina is? Do you remember the Mercedes your dad gave you?
Yeah, the old...
It's a badass car.
It was old SL500.
And if you know shit about cars, you know how badass that car is.
That car is rad, dude.
It's a badass car.
Yeah.
It's a badass fucking car.
And by
car.
The way, the funny thing you pointed out, she fucking loved that thing.
It's a badass car. My dad had one of those cars.
Really?
I remember... It's the fucking hottest car.
I remember like in that era, because that was late 90s, seeing those and just being like in awe, like... Because that's what, like, NFL, like, Derek Thomas had a SL5. You know, it was, like, the badass
car.
Dude,
it's the baddest fucking Mercedes ever made.
Yeah, I fucking love that thing. And she loved that one.
Leanne, you're not a Civic, okay? Because she's not going to get that. She's going to go, like, a Civic?
Well, she's like a Raptor.
You know what she is? What? She's a... Now, hold on, not renovated. She's a Ford Bronco, like a
68?
A 68 Bronco. Uh-huh. Like the fucking cool ones that people are refurbishing.
Yeah, the resto mods.
I'd love to refurbish her. It'd be so fucking awesome.
You want just a bunch of new interior.
New exterior.
Yeah.
She said to me the other day, you know what? I wouldn't mind. She's going to kill me for saying this. She's never talked about plastic surgery.
Yeah.
She goes, I tell you what, I wouldn't mind getting my eyes done. And I go, did not realize what I was saying. I looked at her and I go, that's where you'd start? And she went, what? And I was like, I'm just saying like that. That's where you'd start. Oh, like I just said it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leanne's a Bronco. Cause like, she's like badass. It like, when you see it, you're like, oh, that's a cool car. But it's a little bit of a beater right now, but like, no, but God damn it. I'm fucking this up.
She's all terrain.
She's like
off-roader for sure.
On the weekends, fun as fuck. Right? Mm-hmm. Take the top off on the weekends. Fun as fuck. But like, when you get in her,
you're not always, very safe.
You're always, the seat belts are just lap belts. The windshield wipers don't work. Sometimes when you turn her on, you gotta. Mm-hmm. I had that in a fucking special, I think. But Leanne's a Bronco.
That's very good. And what do you think you are?
I'll tell you what I am.
Okay.
I'm a Model T.
Like the 1930
I've accrued in value exponentially.
Oh, that's very good.
I think when she got me, she was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? It doesn't even start.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone's like, I think she probably saw like other chicks walking by going,
yeah,
hot damn, you have a Model T. And Leanne's like, is it good? And they're like, fuck yeah. It's on an arena tour. She's like, oh shit, I better fucking shine my Model T up.
Yeah.
I better take care of this Model T, or this Model T will start fucking Porsches. She doesn't realize I don't want a Porsche.
Right.
I want a Bronco. I want a Bronco. I pull her up to valet and I'm like, you can park it anywhere you want. Nothing's going to happen to it. She's going to be so fucking mad when she hears this.
Of course. Any reasonable person would.
You think Push is going to be happy that she's a old Mercedes?
I think she'd love that. Yeah, she'd love it. Yeah, it's a European, which she is. She loves that actual model.
We were at our friend's house. Their friends are Asian only because food's important to mm-hmm. them. Like they're really like into food, and they were talking about their relationship. And what I was trying to say was, I should use this as a bit. What I was trying to say was being married to Leanne is like they were talking about what dish your wife would be. And I said, being married to Leanne is like salmon. Like it's really good for you. It's really good when done right. You can dress it up with a lot of shit. It's really fucking good. But all she heard was salmon, and Leanne doesn't like salmon. She's like, I ain't salmon.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you are. Like I could eat salmon every fucking night. Yeah. Every night I could eat salmon.
Sure.
Especially if they crust the skin uh-huh. on top with a little sea salt. It's so simple and it's so fucking good. So simple and it's amazing. Of course you can overcook it and it'll be dry as fuck sometimes. Sometimes if you get it on a plane, you're like, I'm gonna get sick.
Yeah.
But and then Leanne real quick goes, well, you're a turducken. You look good on paper, but you ain't right. She's like, you're real complicated. Everyone's like, ooh, turducken's here. Can't wait. And then you're like, wait, is that three types of fowl in that? Ugh, I don't feel so good. I want something else. And I was like, that's the funniest thing she's ever said.
Yeah, you kind of are a turducken. Who do you think you'd call when your dad dies?
I think about this a lot. I think like when I get phone calls from like my dad's office, I go, oh, fuck, it's on.
Is he in pretty good health now?
Yeah, he's got hip surgery coming up.
Okay.
He almost died. He almost died recently.
I remember this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm probably going to be alone. I probably want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I
was alone. I was alone. I mean, not immediately. I was alone. Here's what I was alone. I was alone the night before, and I knew it was on the horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. I think I definitely made couple phone calls. I definitely talked about it, but I was pretty selective.
I'm probably the wrong person to call when your dad's about to die, because I'll just pivot and tell you my story of my dad.
Probably. Yeah. That's probably why I didn't call you. But I really appreciated the calls that I did make. And then the next day I was with family. And then then everybody came out, you know, funeral stuff. So
I remember, I think of the thing your dad told you before he died all the time is life goes on, buddy.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
Yeah.
I think of that probably once a week. I think of that.
I think about it too.
It's true. It goes on.
Yeah. Cause sometimes I'll think like, oh, what if I die right now or today? And then that quote will enter my head. I'll be like, yeah, the world goes on.
It's crazy that I just take this podcast over and make it mine. One bear, one cave. And just solo. And I'll use found footage of you.
Yeah.
Or backlogged footage of you and continue with you just listening.
Oh, and I'll just have me like nodding and stuff. Yeah.
Nodding. And I'll have you start sentences.
Yeah.
And then I'll just cut you off.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Can we do that, guys? The day Tom dies.
I think you already did.
Can we do a what?
What was that?
I was going to say, I think that's pretty much how the show already goes, right?
Oh, wow. Turn your mic off. Where the fuck's Nadav when you need him?
He's on the front lines, actually.
What?
Yeah, he flew back to fight.
Are you being serious?
No.
Oh, God. What, are they just blocking bullets?
No.
I wonder two things. I wonder if I'll go straight to a bottle. You know?
When your dad dies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if I won't totally at all.
Yeah, there's no way.
At least go, I'm going to feel it.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel it. I'll be there. I'll be present. I'll be there for everyone else. I'll probably swallow it. And then it'll rear its head one fucking ugly evening.
Yeah, that's how it works. Well, yeah. I mean, like, it's how it works differently for everybody. Some people are really in the moment grieving their hardest. And then some people, and then it just affects you over time. I mean, it still affects me. It's just like, it affects you when you don't expect it to. That's the thing, is you can't really control it.
Really?
Yeah. Like situations, someone you talk to, something you think about, something you say, something somebody else says, like the grief affects you, everybody differently.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so wait, where am I on the call sheet?
I guess it'll be number one, but it'll be quick.
Yeah, a quick one.
Yeah, I'll be like, hey, it happened. And then you'd be like, oh yeah, I'll be like, yeah, I'll talk to you later, click.
Okay.
And then I'll probably just go into some cave time and just disappear. I've thought about disappearing. So, you know, so crazy, when I was at my like wildest, when we were, you know, this last year, and I was the heaviest and drinking hard and really going out, getting after it, I thought about disappearing all the time. Like this Dave Chappelle go to South Africa, I thought about it all the time.
It'd be nice, right?
Just, I don't have that feeling at all. I love being present right now. I love like being dialed in. I love this, and I know that it'll go away again. I know that. I know how I operate.
Yeah.
I know I'll gain weight back. That's how it always works. I'll fucking get, after Thanksgiving, I'll be like, fuck it. But I love being present. I love getting up and feeling good and feeling like going like, oh, let's go to the gym. Let's, oh, I'm going to write. Like this morning I got up and I wrote, and I was like, I watched your promo video where you skateboard with Tony Hawk, and I was like, oh, it's so inspiring. Like what I loved about that, your video today, and it's a little late, so everyone's probably already seen it, but it's the one where you skateboard with Tony Hawk and you end up hurt. I love that I saw that and I felt inspired. Like, that is the coolest fucking feeling, that I saw that and I went, fuck, that's good. First person I texted was you.
Yeah.
I said, I love your new promo. I love that, because when I see good promos, like Schultz did a great set of promos for fucking Madison Square Gardens.
I mean, that one broke me up.
Yeah, that was that was great. And it was, but I didn't text Schultz. I think he probably gets so many of those, but I text him throughout the time whenever he does something like that, kind of like his Toronto promos were great.
Yeah.
But I love that it inspires me, as opposed to makes me shitty.
Like, exactly. That's a healthy response.
There's people that see that and they're like, oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I got a tour. I got to promote a tour. I love that it inspired me. And I got up, I went down, I got a coffee, sat in my room, and I started writing, like just writing, because I'm trying to get this new hour. So I'm like, I don't have it yet. And so I was like texting my daughters. I was like, I'm missing a story out of this special. I need a story. Like, what story is good? And they always keep saying the same ones, but I'm like, nah, they're not like fucking there yet. And so like, but I love that it inspired me, that I'm like, I'm getting in the gym. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go, oh, we got a big night tonight. We're going to party. Like, I love that that's where I am, as opposed to the feeling. And I said this today when I went to the gym at the hotel I always stay at. Mm-hmm. I said, do you know how many times I got into this gym hungover? And I just said, I would love to go to just disappear to Paris for fucking 7 days. No one knows where the fuck I go.
Yeah.
Go to a hotel room, fucking sleep for like 3 days, start drinking white wine, get in a car, disappear into the countryside. Like, it was so crazy that I was literally, that I would have those thoughts when I'd come here, and I would be like, it's so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about disappearing a lot. I think I'll probably disappear. Oh, I guess I'll go do the funeral and then I'll disappear when my dad dies.
Yeah.
Do something crazy. I'll have people worried about me. Make it about me. You know me.
It's on brand.
It's on brand.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Out of all the podcasts we've done in this studio, this is my favorite one we've ever done.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I don't know why. I feel very present and connected to you.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Do you notice a change in me?
I mean, I have noticed a change since, I mean, I don't get to see you that often. So we text and we talk sometimes, but I mean, physically, definitely notice a change. Like, it's it's good and you need
it. Isn't it amazing how my body just rebounds? That like I look physically
gorgeous.
Like I'm 25.
Yeah.
Like overweight is 25, thought. But my body, like abs are showing up. My fucking arms are cut. My chest just fucking taut. I did 50s. I did 50s for strict press 12 times, four times today.
What?
Yeah.
50?
50 pounds on each arm. Uh-huh. Strict press 12 times, four rounds.
Okay.
I'm fucking amazed at myself. Did you ever see the scene where Bruce Willis in that movie where he's the superhero, where his son keeps putting weight on the machine and they're on the, in the, they're downstairs and his son, it's called Unbreakable. You ever seen Unbreakable?
Yeah. Yeah.
When Bruce Willis finds out that he's a superhero, mm-hmm. and his son's just putting more on the rack. And then he goes, I can't, I'm going to get hurt. And he's like, Dad, try it. And he just keeps lifting more weight. That's what I feel like every fucking day.
Every day.
And I know I'm delusional, but God damn it.
Let's get it.
Look at this.
Look at that.
Fucking
Jesus.
Arm.
Gorgeous.
God damn it. The skin is so. Do you think that there's someone that knows I'm a little bit joking, but then everyone knows I think he's kind of serious?
Yeah. They kind of go, he's kind of serious.
My teeth is what I'd fix. Gold fronts. Edgerton James.
Edgerton?
Edgerton.
Edgerton.
That's his name. I call him Edge.
Yeah.
I get implanted all golds.
Yeah.
All golds.
That's tight. You should do it.
Fucking badass. Never have to brush again.
Yeah, clean up the rest of the toilet with the gold fronts. At least put on like the, you know,
grills
piece, yeah.
We should get grills.
It's very doable.
For real?
We're in Texas. Let's go hit Pow Wow up.
Pow Wow.
Yeah.
I do it.
Let's do it, man.
Hey, great episode, Tom. I love you.
I love you too, man. We'll see you guys next week.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.